talk about being ready. First, let's quote the gospel next. If you repent and believe, you can receive the gift of salvation. Are you ready? Ready is being prepared to do something or receive something. In the Bible, God is always ready, and he's prepared things in advance for us. In Mark chapter 14, the upper room was prepared in advance for Jesus. In Mark chapter 11, the donkey was prepared for Jesus to ride on it. In Luke chapter 23, the tomb was prepared for Jesus. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that have been prepared in advance. When you're talking to somebody, you need to know that they have been prepared for something you don't know about. That's why we always want to offer the gospel to them, because you never know where their heart is at. Even if they're resisting you, arguing with you, their heart is still being prepared by God. When I was in high school, I wish I would have run track. I think about it to this day. I wish I would have run track, and I regret it. In the same way, when I had an opportunity to receive Christ the first time, I passed on it and I regretted it. Opportunity to be saved is right now. Do you want to make that same mistake? I got a question for you. When are you going to get off this carousel and stop going in circles and really start walking with God and doing the things that he wants you to do? Life is going to keep going. It's going to pass you by. At some point, you got to make a decision to get off and stop going in circles.
What's up? Happy Sunday, happy Sunday, happy Sunday. How y'all doing? Let's give the Lord a big hand. Come on, church. Let's go. Let's all stand up. Let's all stand up. You ever go to a Padre game or any baseball game, but it's a Padre game, and they hit a home run to win a game, and y'all go crazy? Anybody ever seen a Padre game on TV? You know what I'm saying? So I was wondering how if we could give that applause before the home run. So God's getting ready to have a home run here in a few minutes, right? He already has. But let's cheer God before the home run as though the home run has just been hit. Amen? One, two, three. Come on, come on, church. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. Amen. Amen. Lord, thank you so much. So much for what you've done, and I know that there are people in here who are carrying heavy, heavy, heavy burdens, and they're probably going, I'm cheering you, but you ain't helping me. You're alive. You have breath. You have opportunity to learn from it and grow from it. That's your blessing right now. Trust me, you will one day thank God for the pain you're going through. As long as you trust him, you will look back and go, thank you, Jesus, for teaching me that lesson. So we pray you bless us today, encourage us today, give us hope. God sees you. He hears you. He knows what's happening, and he is right there with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Look to someone next to you and say, God's got you. Amen. We have Easter next week. Everyone say Easter. Yeah. We have a Good Friday service that is a separate service all about the crucifixion. Saturday, Sunday, all about the resurrection. Bring some people. It's a great time to invite a friend to come to church. 4 weeks from today is Mother's Day, May 11th, and May 10th, the day before, we are putting on an evangelistic event at Viejas Arena on the campus of San Diego State. We have circuit riders, the worship team, and then also Chandler Moore is going to be doing worship and music. We'll have the gospel and some other stuff going on. But we need volunteers. And so it's a young adult youth thing. Everybody's invited. It's all free. Everybody's invited. But if you would like to volunteer, we need several hundred volunteers to do altar call, to do security, et cetera. Please go to that link and sign up and let us know how you can serve so we can best serve all the people that are going to be coming there from all over. We're working with a bunch of churches around San Diego. Obviously, it's not a rock church thing. It's a community thing. To come on down there, but it'd be great if you can volunteer and help us out. Amen? Amen. Turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, the fifth book of the New Testament. If you are a visitor, my name is Miles. I'm the pastor of The Rock. Welcome to church today. Today's Sunday, by the way. Today is Sunday. I say that for the person who is hungover and doesn't know where they are. there's somebody. I mean, if I ask you, anybody here hungover? I mean, we're really happy you're here. Amen. I mean, anybody? Okay. This girl just asked me to go with her, so I came. Hey, go, do what you got to do, bro. Do what you got to do. when I was 23 years old, before I accepted Christ, I was I took an anatomy class at San Diego State. I took anatomy and biochemistry. I played for the Chargers at the time. I was doing cocaine, so I figured, I didn't figure, I was just, before I was saved, but I was getting hurt, and all of our teammates were getting hurt, so we would listen to the doctors talk about all different parts of my body. And so I said, you know what, I've always wanted to learn, I love science, I always want to learn about the body, so I took an anatomy class, took biochemistry, and in the anatomy class, pretty much every week, 7 to 10 days, we would have an exam of like 100 different terms. We would learn the skeletal system and then have a test, the respiratory system, then have a test, the circulatory system, then have a test, the endocrine system, which is all your hormones, then have a test, the reproductive system, then have it was just every system after system in different parts of the brain, different every organ, you had to learn all the different parts, and it was completely fascinating, and there was a cadaver or dead body in the class. Well, there was a big refrigerator, so they would pull out a dead body. There were several in there, so depending on what you got, and you would, they're just cut open, so you were able to touch lungs and hearts and nerves, and it was very fascinating. But if you took anatomy in America, and then you went to China and opened somebody up, you would see the same thing. If you went to Africa, you would see the same thing. You went to India, you would see the same thing. And so once you learn anatomy in one person, you know the anatomy of every other person, unless there was something, there was a deformity. I want to talk today about the anatomy of a divine appointment. What does it look like when you have a divine appointment? A divine appointment is when God orchestrates an encounter between two people. A divine appointment is when God orchestrates, you're over here minding your business, or maybe you're not minding your business. Maybe you're just being nosy and a gossip and jacked up, whatever you're doing. And then God orchestrates where you bump into somebody for a divine purpose that God wants to accomplish in both of your lives. And the reason I want to talk to you about this, because we've been talking about sharing your faith and talking about learning the gospel and sharing your testimony, but you need to also know that it's not where you are going to always engineer, I am going to talk to this person at this time in this place, as much as, Lord, guide and direct my steps. Because if you could understand how to recognize your divine appointment and understand the characteristics of a divine appointment, you're going to be more confident that what you're going to share is going to make a difference. And you can be more confident that whatever you do, God's going to be glorified. You don't have to worry about it. So, number one, divine appointments are the result of God's process. Everyone say process. We, thank you very much. Say process. We are all in process. If you ever read a story in the Bible or a movie, any story, they're called narratives. In narratives, you have people who are, in biblical context, God's friend, people who are promoting God's agenda, and God's enemies, people who are opposing God's agenda. And then the plot is the tension between the two. In every movie you watch, in the first 5 or 10 minutes, they're going to establish a good guy, a bad guy, and how the bad guy is going to stop the good guy from doing something. And that's the whole movie. The whole movie is the good guy trying, or girl, trying to accomplish something that the bad group of people or one is trying to prevent them, and you're caught up in how are they going to get it done. That's every movie, okay? Same thing in real life. And so we are all in a narrative. We are all either trying to obey God, resist God, or both. Some days we're trying to obey God, some days we're trying to resist God. And everybody in your life is either opposed to you or for you. And so we're all in process. I was watching the Masters. The Masters is a golf tournament happening right now. And literally the last day is today. It's a 4-day a golf tournament. And they showed a picture of the people in the Masters, and they have no cell phones. Check out this picture. It's very important. Now, if you look at this picture, it says, not a single phone out at the Masters. and nobody has a cell phone. And then at the bottom, it says, no phones, just living in the moment. So when I watched this, I was like, I thought that they were talking about how the people who go to the Masters are noble people. They don't take videos. They're just really locked in, focused people. Do you see how I could see that? Yes? Okay. How about anybody want to say no? Okay. That's what I thought. I said, and then there was another picture that compared it, and it said LeBron James, when he broke his record, everybody's got their cell phone out. And it's like, when LeBron broke the all-time scoring record. So one picture says they're locked in, living in the moment. They're in the moment, people. They're not talking about, let's save this for later. And then the other picture implies that the Laker fans are, you know, they're going to take a picture, not to the bad thing. But how is it that there's one group, they were all locked in, and the other group was taking pictures? Well, come to find out, when you go to the Masters, they take your phone when you get there. You can't you take your phone in. So it wasn't like they're locked in. They had no choice. They had no phone. And if they catch you taking a picture, they kick you out. And why is this important? Because when you meet somebody, it is very important to understand there is context you might not know about. I promise you, when you look in the mirror in the morning, and whether you feel good or bad or indifferent about your life and what the day is, you don't even have all the information about your own life. How many of y'all woke up discouraged today? Oh, great. How many of y'all woke up encouraged today? Great. How many of y'all woke up and you're not woke up yet? Because you didn't even raise your hand to either one of them, right? You're like, I don't know. Well, I would say the last month of my life has been the most discouraging over the last several years. Every day. I don't know why. And so am I searching? Yeah, I'm asking God, what about this? What is it? What about this? What about this? What about this? We don't even know all about ourselves. So when you meet somebody, you have to understand they are in process. And you are in process. And if you're trying to submit yourself to God, He's trying to work with you to get you to go do and be what he created you to be. He's doing the same thing even with a non-Christian. If you go to, my wife and I, we love to go to Vegas. My grandson, he's 10, he's going to Vegas Thursday with his baseball team. And I'm like, MJ, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, baby, okay? We go to Vegas and we'll, you know, go to the show, whatever, and we just love walking through the mall. It's just the whole everything. And not everything, a lot of it, okay? But we'll get up and go to breakfast and we'll walk through the casino to get to breakfast. And people in the casino, they've been there all night. And I'm like, dang, bro, you've been here all, I saw you when I went to bed last night. That dude's looking for God. Sure as I'm standing here for you, he's looking for God. He just doesn't know, he ain't gonna find it there. There was a guy who was injected with some drugs. He didn't know what the drug was, so he had this addiction, but he didn't know what he was addicted to. So he's trying all these different drugs to meet that craving. But really, his craving was God. Our craving is God. But we try sex, we try shopping, we try all these things. I went shopping the other day. I went to the mall. I've been to the mall like 5 times in the last month. Usually, I'm a one-a-year guy. Right before Easter, like this week, I'll go and get something for nice for Easter. That's it. But for some reason, on my birthday, and then we had this, people took me. I was like, wait a minute, it's kind of good. So I went yesterday. I exchanged stuff, and I was like, "Look, bro, this is. I know I bought this like 3 months ago, and I wore this one, and I know it's over the time. But can I return it anyway? Because I don't know the rules." He goes, "Yeah, sure." He says, "Can you put it on a credit card, like a little gift card, so I can spend it right now?" And I bought 2 other things in exchange. I'm like becoming a pro shopper. And what I bought, I turned it in. It was $107.54. That's what I got on the card. So the 2 things I bought were $107.54. It was exact. I was like, people do that as their fix. All of us are looking for God. So just understand, you're in process. Everybody you meet, no matter what They are in process because they've been created to have a relationship with God, and nothing else will satisfy. Nothing else can substitute it. In this story, Philip is a deacon in the church. He was selected to serve the apostles, and God is going to tell Philip to go south towards Gaza, the same Gaza you read about in the paper. He's going to tell him, go south, and that's it. I have an assignment for you, but just don't worry about what it is. Just go south. At the same time, there's an Ethiopian eunuch. A eunuch is a man who is either castrated, so he can't have sex because he was working with high appointed and in the government women, so they didn't want to have, they had all these guys that were eunuchs. They were strong, but they couldn't have sex, so they'd have to worry about them doing anything to the women. So, you know, they could either be a castrated eunuch or a voluntary eunuch. Fellas, how many of y'all want to be a voluntary eunuch? You know what I'm saying? I'll just, okay, if I got to do it, just, I'm good. You don't have to do anything. So anybody, but this guy was a eunuch, and he was over all the treasury for the queen. But he heard about God. And he's in Ethiopia / Sudan, where he's from. And so he traveled 60 days to Jerusalem to learn about the Bible and to worship God. And he's on his way back. And him and Philip are going to meet. Now, they don't know each other. One's Jew, Middle Eastern, one's black, African. One is an evangelist, got four daughters that are evangelists. Another guy is a government official, very trusted government official, traveling with a big entourage. And they're going to meet. They have no idea. So God is going to orchestrate this meeting. Now, understand, God's going to orchestrate meetings with you where people have nothing in common with you. And God's going to ask you to speak to people, pray for people, encourage people, speak truth to people in a loving way that you have no idea who they are. They may be more educated than you, less educated than you. They may be different ethnicity. They may have different levels of money. But it doesn't matter because it's about God's process. Everyone say it's God's process. You can't ever go into the mall, into work or whatever and say, I'm only going to do what I feel comfortable doing. That's the problem. You have to get out of yourself. Say it's not about me. One more time. Take a deep breath. Say it's not about me. Very good. Take a deep breath. Turn to the person next to you and say, it ain't about you. You know what's messed up about just what happened? Y'all said it ain't about you a whole lot louder than you said it ain't about me. Did y'all notice that? You know, it's not about me. What's he talking about? He's trying to get him. Oh, no. It ain't about you. Read the story. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise, go towards the south, along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Just go south. Just go on the road. That's all he told him. God's not going to tell you everything. God's not going to tell you everything. Matter of fact, in your life, God will always leave details out because you have to do it by faith. I'm a risk taker, so I'm good with not all the information. My wife is a rule follower. She likes to know every detail. It ain't gonna happen. And it's not gonna happen. And it says, this is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge over all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. So Philip's going south. He's returning also from Jerusalem back to Ethiopia. He was sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake the chariot. So Philip goes south. He's going south. Okay. My granddaughter's going to be 2 Thursday. Called her up last night. We were having a conversation. She had just had a bath. She was being dressed. She was getting her dress, putting lotion on. She puts lotion, she'll get a thing, and she'll do that. That's her lotion. Like, so she's getting lotion. I said, what are you going to do? What are you doing? She says, I'm going to go for a walk. She's 2. Where are you going? She didn't say, I'm going to go for a walk. She just said, walk. That's what God told Philip. Just walk. Just go. And then as he's going, he says, now go there. Sometimes y'all need to just start. You want to know the end. Just start. Start the process. Start reading the Bible. Where do I start? Start at Genesis in the beginning. Start anywhere. Just start and let God direct you. And it says, Philip ran and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? He says, how can I understand unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man? Whenever you have a divine appointment, don't worry about having to say a bunch of stuff. Meet them where they're at. He said, tell me what you're learning. What's your question? He says, well, I'm reading this scroll. I don't know what he's talking about. Can you help me with this? One of the most important things you can do in sharing your faith is to meet people where they're at. Answer the questions they're asking. Minister to the pain that they're experiencing in the moment and not try to create something and just tell them stuff because you got information in your head. Number two, divine appointments benefit God's people. Ask God to show you the potential blessing. I know sharing your faith is scary. But when you do, you grow and they grow. You get blessed, and they get blessed. I remember one time I was in Hawaii, and I was in a gift shop, and this guy was in a wheelchair, and God was saying, you need to pray for the guy in the wheelchair. I was like, man, God, I don't know if I could do that. Because he wanted to pray that he would be healed, right? Like, man, that's a, yeah, asking an awful lot, brother. You know, I'm just here to get some chips. So I'm walking through the gift shop, and I'm like, nah. And then, you know, I'm at the register. I'm like, okay, maybe I don't need to do it. His dad pushes him right behind me in line. So anyway, I don't pray for the guy. And I'm like, I felt bad. Like, okay, God, if I see him again, I'll pray for him. This is a big resort. I'm walking to dinner that night. All these people are walking to different restaurants, and here he comes in his wheelchair. Right to where I'm at. So anyway, make a long story short, I went up to him at dinner. I said, look, man, I just got to pray for you. And I just prayed for him. Did he get healed? Nope. Did I grow in my faith? Yep. Did he get encouraged? I hope so. God wants to do something in your life. It says, Philip opened his mouth and beginning at the scriptures, preached Jesus to him. Everyone say, open your mouth. Imagine if you could, how many of y'all talk? It's not a trick question, How many of y'all talk? Okay. Imagine if you could take a chunk of your gossip words. Because yeah. Y'all, there's a certain percentage of what you say every day that's gossip. Can I get amen? You're talking about this person. You're complaining about this person. You're talking about that person. And then you're complaining about the same thing again. Imagine if you could take a chunk of that and convert it. Like, imagine if that gossip got saved and you turned it into praise about Jesus. Instead of talking bad about this person, you talk good about that person. And you took the same words, the same amount of words, and that's what you did. So he says he opened his mouth. You are professional at opening your mouth. You talk in the morning. You talk in the afternoon. You talk in the evening. You talk in your sleep. You talk. He opened his mouth. And as he went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, there is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son. So he commanded his chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water to be baptized. Because he spoke, because he was obedient, the eunuch got saved, the eunuch got baptized, and Philip got blessed. There's a church in San Diego, several churches doing just one, and this one particular lady works in a grocery store. She saw a woman walking down the aisle. This happened last week. She saw a woman walking down the aisle in her grocery store and sensed that she was sad and went up to her and said, hey, how are you doing? You're doing okay? Is there anything I could pray for? And the woman starts crying and says, I have cancer and I'm finding out the results of my test later today. And I have nobody in my life. She said, oh my gosh, can I pray for you? She prayed for her, and then the lady with the cancer left the store. The lady prayed for her, thought, oh my goodness, I didn't invite her to church. I didn't get her number. I didn't share the gospel and ask her if she wanted to get saved. I just prayed for her, which, and by the way, if you pray for somebody only, that's not bad. But she was thinking, man, I could at least invite her to church or got her number or something. So for 4 hours, she's beating herself up because she felt like she didn't do all that she could have done. And then 4 hours later, that lady runs back into the store looking for her because she got her results and that she's not cancer-free, but it's not a malignant cancer. It won't harm her. She won't die from it. So it was great news. Come on, let's give it to church. She comes running into the grocery store. She says, I had no one else to celebrate with but you. You have no idea. There's a guy in my neighborhood, my wife and I see him pretty much every week, and he's a walker, and he just walks. And we'll see him like 3 miles from where our house is. He lives near me. He's like, you know, down, like in another neighborhood. He's just walking. And then we used to see him with his wife, and his wife was sick, and she's walking behind him. And so I went up to him one day. I was driving. I stopped the car, jumped out the car, and said, hey, my name is Miles. What's your name? Hey, tell me what's going on with your wife. And he starts bawling, crying. She's dying. She has this. She has Alzheimer's, da-da-da-da. So I prayed with him. And shortly after that, we would just see him walk. His wife passed away. Now he walks with his dog. There are people in your life that God's put in your path for you. And remember, it's not about us. What a blessing you can be to somebody if you just let God direct you. Number three, divine appointments fulfill God's purpose. It's not about your purpose. In what we are taught through our culture is that we gotta go to school, make money, have retirement, have a family, be successful, da-da-da-da-da. And all that's probably part of what God wants you to do, but that's not your purpose. Your purpose is to glorify your Heavenly Father who created you in His image. Your purpose is to reflect the glory of God in your life and how you love people, encourage people. And our whole journey is to get us to do that better. But you're on assignment. Ask God, God, what is my assignment? Remember, Philip baptized the Ethiopian. Look what it says. It says, when they came out of the water. Now I'm the eunuch. I'm getting baptized. Blah, 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 and Phyllis got me under the water. Blah, 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 blah. And when I come out of the water, this is what happened. Look what it says. When they came out of the water, the Spirit caught Philip and took him away. Whew, he was gone. He's gone. Well, what kind of stuff is that? God. Just God. God did that with something. Enoch, the Bible says Enoch walked with God and then he was not because God took him. How many of y'all want to be took by God? Just take me, Lord, take me, Lord. By the way, don't raise your hand, but if you've ever felt suicidal, I know many times I'm like, God, I don't want to live anymore. But what I would tell God is, God, I'm not going to kill myself. You take me. He's like, nope, not yet. But at least appeal to God. God, can you take me like Enoch? Take me to heaven. And if he says no, then you got to tough it out. You got to rough it out. And then he'll give you the peace of God and he'll make you. But look what it says. He says, he caught Philip so that the eunuch saw him no more and he went away rejoicing. Here's Philip is gone to Azototh and then he started preaching all through Caesarea. And then the eunuch, Philip went on his assignment. The eunuch went to Ethiopia to talk to the queen. God's divine appointments fulfill God's purpose. That one guy took the gospel to the kingdom leadership of Ethiopia. I want to encourage you. God opened my eyes up to my divine appointments. Now, some of y'all are going to go to Starbucks today, in and out, whatever. You're going to be sitting there going, do I need to go talk to that person? Here's what I would tell you. Just go ahead. Try it. Practice. If they go, oh, no, it's not a failure, you just got more bold. In a minute, you're going to see a skit, our last skit of the series, the last message of the series, and then you're going to hear the gospel and give you opportunity to ask Christ to be your Savior. Check out the skit.
Nick, God's not going to force this door open, but he's standing at the door and he's knocking. And I know you hear it. I know you've been hearing it. So I'm just wondering if you're finally ready to open that door and let God in, like right now. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready. Amen. If God's offering me a fresh start, then I want it.
Awesome.
I do. I want to believe that he can change me. I'm just afraid, to be honest with you guys.
No, honestly, it's normal. I don't know about you, but I was scared too.
Yeah, it's absolutely normal. I was terrified when I first gave my life to Christ. But I tell you this, bro, don't let fear prevent you from making this step. If I can promise you one thing, is that God is faithful. He's so faithful. And from this moment on, your life's going to change.
Yeah.
You're going to have an intimate relationship with the Lord, and he's always going to be with you.
Amen. Yeah, and just to be clear, God's not asking you to earn anything. Like, the whole story that we've been sharing with you is all about grace. I even have it as my phone lock screen as a good reminder. Look, so God created us in his image to live in a loving relationship with him. Pridefully, we rebelled against God and ruined that opportunity. Therefore, God became man in Jesus Christ, and as a perfect role model, he lived the life we should have lived. As perfect ransom, he died the death we should have died in our place. As perfect proof of life after death, he rose on the third day. So if you repent and believe in him, you can receive this free gift of salvation.
Wow.
Are you ready?
Like, right now? In
this
coffee shop with all these people?
Yeah, let's do it.
Amen, let's
Elliot,
do it.
Elliot, you want to lead him in the ABC prayer?
Absolutely. Here, switch seats with me.
Yes. Do your thing.
All right, Nick. So all you got to do is repeat after me. All right, I know we're in this coffee shop, so if you prefer, you can just look at me in the eye like we're having a conversation.
Okay.
But if you're willing, I'd like you to bow your head, close your eyes, and allow me to lay my hand on your shoulder.
All right, I'm all in. Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it. All right, just repeat after me.
Okay.
Dear God, I admit that I am a sinner.
Dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner.
And I understand that the penalty of my sin is death.
And I understand that the penalty of my sin is death.
I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord.
I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord.
And that he died and rose from the dead for my sin.
And that he died and rose from the dead for my sin.
I confess Jesus as my Savior and repent of my sin.
I confess Jesus as my Savior and repent of my sin.
Please forgive me and fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Please forgive me and fill me with the Holy Spirit.
I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen, buddy. Congratulations.
Oh, come here. That was amazing. Congratulations, Nick. That is the best decision you will ever make in your life.
Man.
Like, how are you? How does it feel?
I feel lighter. Like, a weight has been lifted off me.
Amen.
That's
good, man. That's good. It's honestly a blessing to be able to witness the transformation right in front of us. Because the scripture tells us that anyone who's in Christ is a new creature. The old is gone and the new is here.
Yeah, Nick, you literally are a completely different person than you were a minute ago.
Wow.
It's crazy.
So what do I do now? Like, keep praying?
Yeah, well, prayer is definitely part of it. You know, it's time spent with the Lord so you can discern his voice. He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. So you can hear from the Lord. But the biggest thing would be to surround yourself with a community of believers. That would be the next step.
Yeah, you should go to church with us next weekend. We can save you a seat.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And after church, if you're not doing anything, I have a group of guys that gets together and we just read the Bible, go through life together, share what we're struggling. It's honestly really beneficial. So there's groups like that I've started, and the church has plenty of groups that we can get you plugged in on if you want.
Groups are really important. And now that you've said yes to Jesus, you should get baptized. There's, it's just a way to just publicly declare that you're all in. You die to yourself in the water and you're raised to new life. We have baptisms on April 27th if you want to sign up.
Yeah, I want that.
Yeah.
Amen.
I don't want to go back to, you know, how I was before all this.
No, don't worry about that. Me and Elliot are going to walk hand in hand with you through the process. Do you happen to have a Bible?
I don't.
Okay, let's do that. Are you done with your coffee?
Yeah, I'm done.
Sarah, you're done?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's go grab that.
Right. First, we need to document this moment with a picture.
Oh, let's do it.
Amen.
Amen. Good morning, church. So how exciting is it when a person finally decides to put their faith in Jesus, right? Amen. It says in scripture that all of heaven rejoices. So if we got that excited about Nick finally accepting Jesus, I can't imagine what heaven is about to sound like after me and Hayden give this invitation to some of you today. This is Hayden. He's my husband. Funny enough, we met because I posted a TikTok sharing my testimony, and he slid into the DMs. So for some of you single people, this is good incentive to share your story, share your testimony. You never know what could happen.
You gotta do it. Yeah, amazing. Stories are so powerful, aren't they? Testimonies are so powerful, and the reason that they're powerful is because they create a point of connection for us. My story started in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and before Jesus, I was just an 11-year-old kid who struggled with a lot of anxiety. At the age of 11, I was having panic attacks pretty regularly, and by the age of 17, I found myself partying, using drugs, and I was actually drinking 7 days a week. This brokenness continued to happen in my life, and I found myself at the age of 21 feeling so hopeless, so broken, and just feeling like I had nothing left to live for. I had flunked out of college. I couldn't hold friendships or relationships, and I just hurt so many people that I loved. And there was this one particular day where I was driving, and I'll never forget this day. I was driving across a bridge, and it was pouring rain. And all of a sudden, I just started seeing all the people that I had hurt, seeing all the things that I had done. And I started just thinking to myself, why am I even here? Why am I on this earth? I'm not adding any value. I'm not doing anything well, and I'm hurting all the people that I love. So I pulled over, and I'm crying, and something urged me to just send one prayer up to God. And in a desperate moment, I was weeping, and I cried out to God, and I just said, God, if you're real, please take this pain from me. I can't keep doing this. And then Jesus met me in that moment, and I felt the peace of God come over me, and I actually heard the voice of God speak to me. Come on. Come on. I heard the voice of God speak to me so clearly. I haven't even heard it that clear to this day. And the Spirit of God said, hold on just a little bit longer. I have a plan and purpose for your life. Since then, I've dedicated my life to sharing the message of Jesus to those who feel hopeless, broken, and addicted.
Amen.
Amen.
So if you've been here for the last couple of weeks, most of you have heard bits and pieces of my testimony through the skit, which were real. So I was addicted, and I did struggle with anxiety, but I haven't said until now is that the trauma I was carrying was caused by being raped. I almost didn't graduate college because of it. And as a 4.0 straight A student, I just began to spiral. And I was more depressed, had more anxiety attacks, became more addicted. But then Jesus, he met me in my mess.
Come on.
Yeah, he met me where I was at, and he completely transformed my life. He not only restored me, but he began to heal me. He healed me through my Christian therapist, prayer and fasting, my church community, my patient husband who has seen me at my worst, many anxiety attacks in, and my caseworker who worked with my professors, and they helped me graduate San Diego State University. Praise God. And most importantly, Jesus. Walking hand in hand in a personal relationship with him, he healed me. And since then, I have been freed from panic attacks. I have broken the chains of addiction. I live a life without shame, without guilt.
Come on.
Anxiety no longer calls the shots. So sure, I'm a survivor, like many of you who are here in this room today. But I'm no longer just surviving. I'm living a life free and in love with Jesus. So some of you who are here have heard this good news over the last couple of weeks in the form of 9 R's, relationship, rebel, ruin, and so on. But to some of you, they've just been words that we say in the skit or that you've read on the screen. But I'm believing that for some of you who are here today, they're gonna sound a lot different. Your ears are going to hear it and it's gonna click and come alive in a new way. And this isn't just good news, guys. This, for everyone here, is the best news we will ever hear and receive. And so I want us all to lean in and not tune this out. Like, actually turn your ears on and listen to this as if it was for the first time.
Yeah, as my amazing wife just said, the gospel is not just the good news, it is the best news. The gospel is the reality that God created us in his image to have a relationship with him. But humanity turned the other way, and we sinned against God, and we ruined that opportunity. But God is good, and God is gracious, and God is kind. So God became man in Jesus Christ. He came to earth, and he lived a sinless and blameless life to be the perfect role model and representation for humanity. Jesus came on assignment knowing that he would have to die on the cross for our sins to be the perfect ransom for our disobedience. Jesus goes to the cross. He dies a brutal death. He is beaten brutally, taking on the sin of the world, dies on the cross, only to rise, and he rose from the dead. Come on. So maybe you're in here, and you're here for the very first time, and maybe you're, you know, you came to the 12 p.m. service, and you've heard our story, and you heard Pastor Miles preach, and you're like, I actually want a relationship with Jesus. Hayden, how do I do it? It's really pretty simple. All you have to do is repent. To repent means to turn from your sin, to turn from the world, to turn from anything that is separating you from God, and turn towards our Creator. All you have to do after that is just open your arms and freely receive the free gift of salvation and a loving relationship with Jesus that God has always wanted for you. And lastly, all you gotta do is ask yourself this question. Really, the question is this, as you're thinking about it, the question is, are you ready? And if you are, it's as simple as ABC.
A, admit. Admit that you are a sinner and that the penalty of sin is death. B, believe. Believe that Jesus came and he died and rose from the dead for all of our sins. And C, confess. Confess that he is Savior by repenting and following him. So if you're here in this room and you want to give your life to Jesus for the first time, or you want to rededicate your life and take your faith more seriously, we're going to pray this prayer with you. So with all heads bowed and eyes closed, you can repeat after me. Dear God, I admit that I am a sinner, and the penalty of sin is death. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that he died and rose from the dead for my sin. I confess Jesus as my Savior and repent of my sin. Please forgive me and fill me with the Holy Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name.
Awesome. We want to do something here in a second. What I'm going to do is I'm going to count to three. And once I get to three, if you're in this room and you just accepted Jesus as your Savior, or maybe you rededicated your life to Jesus, we want to celebrate that. So when I get to three, we're going to ask you to stand to your feet. And we want to celebrate what God is doing in your life and what he's going to continue to do for the rest of your days here on this earth. Are we ready? One, Jesus loves you. 2, God wants you to be bold for your faith. 3, stand right now in this room if you gave your life to the Lord. Stand, stand. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Amazing.
God bless you.
We see you.
God bless you. We see you.